Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. Today is January 6th, 2017, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Theo. I don't know his last name, actually. He's a YouTuber. His name is Hippie with a Gun. I think he's got some long Greek name. I'm going to give him a call. I did call him before the radio show, and true to form, the call dropped. So let me see if I can give him a call. And hold on just one second. See if I can get it in. It's actually not even allowing me to call him. Hold on. Let me redial it. How about that one? So we're going to find out if we can get through on this. This phone thing, we still have not figured out what it is. Skype can't figure it out, but I am going to persist for sure. Okay, let me see if I can give him a call. It actually looks like it's almost available to call. Here we go. Let me see if I can find him a different way. Hold on. There we go. Let me see. And he is not available to call. So guess what? I wonder if Theo can call in. This, they're sort of getting to us because I've been able to call out. Man, this is kind of seriously no bueno, man. Here we go. Come on, I should be able to add this phone call in. There is no reason I shouldn't. Well, you're going to have to listen to me on the fly then, because it does not look like I will be able to get through. Hold on. Let me see who this is. How can we do that? That is so not right. Hold on, you guys. I apologize for this. I guess we need to have some bumper music, don't I? Because that doesn't work. Boy, we hate it when it gets like this, right? I do. It wants to dial the number when there's only six numbers in the phone, in the thing it says it will call. As soon as I put in the seventh number, the phone call doesn't work. But let me just see what happens. Let's see if I can call him. I can't call him. Skype will not allow me to call him. Well, there you go. You know what we were going to talk about? Sovereign citizen. Let me see if he can call in. He is a sovereign citizen, and we were going to share his experiences about what goes on. Let me see if I can add his call. I gave him the number beforehand to give me a call, and let's see if we can add him to our phone call. It has to do with something about the feed with Skype through the radio show. Every other phone call on Skype works fine, perfectly fine. Anytime we test it, we have three people on the air. And I actually don't see him calling. I don't think he can actually get through either. I think that's an interesting little bit of a thing. Wow. This is the first time this kind of an event's happened where somebody can't even call me. I guess they don't want us to know about sovereign citizens, do they? Okay, let's see if we can add them in. Okay. I don't think so. Hold on just one second. Okay, I'm going to send a little message to Jules. This is an
Lonnie?
interesting little. Yes. So let me see if any of my Skype listeners, anybody on the radio show, if you're out there, please let us know if we have mission accomplished here. So I'm going to send Jules a little message and ask her if she can hear us, because according to my thing, it says you guys can hear us. Yippee! Perseverance brings success. So
Cool.
here we are. Okay, so let me see. I'm going to talk to Jules for just a second, send her a message, and ask her if she can hear us. Okay. So I think we can hear us, and I'm going to go on with the idea that they can hear us. So how about that? So
Sounds
after
good.
six after what 6 minutes of attempting to get logged on, I want to thank my listeners for hanging tight with us. We have Theo. Theo, I do not know your last name. He is a YouTuber. His YouTube channel is called Hippie with a Gun. I met him through Kevin Blanch several months ago. He came out here. He was in Washington. We hooked up because, he's willing to talk about and look at geoengineering, the radiation, et cetera, radioactivity contamination. And he and I went up to Trojan together and did some videos and actually found some mutated plants up there in Trojan. They were very interesting. So, welcome, Theo, after all of this. I am going to assume that they can hear us. I just got a message from Michael that says the audio is good, so they can definitely hear us. Thank you, Michael, for listening and telling us that. So welcome, Theo.
Cool.
Welcome to
So
the
about
show.
how, yeah, thank you. So about how many listeners do you have, you think?
Oh, about 1 million. That's what
Nice.
I
Okay,
think we have
cool.
at least 50, 100, and 100, 200, 300,000. I don't know. I would say that by the time 3 years, 4 years, 5 years comes around, there will be millions of people listening to this radio station because it's the only station where you can get like real information regarding nuclear pollution and geoengineering. So, and it's on consistently. And there are people here that talk about gun rights. There's people here that talk about computer stuff. There's people here that just talk about intellectual stuff.
Cool.
I'm going to mess up the name, but it's the Sovereign Journey. I listen to it. I should know what it is. I just click on it and listen to it. There's someone that reads from books. Like, super astounding. I don't know. There's some really great shows on this station. So, how many listeners do we have? Millions.
A lot. Wow. Cool.
Millions, yeah. Okay. So welcome to us. And I was saying that you were going to share your experiences as attempting to assert your rights as a sovereign citizen, correct? And I thought what I would do is talk about, I went to Wikipedia. Now you tell me, this is what Wikipedia says about sovereign citizen movement, is a loose grouping of American and Canadian litigants, commentators, tax protesters, and financial scheme promoters. This is Wikipedia. Now you have a right to go in and change Wikipedia, right? So you, if you don't agree with this,
Right.
go online and change it. Self-described sovereign citizens take the position that they are answerable only to their particular interpretation of the common law and are not subject to any government statutes or proceedings. They do not recognize United States currency and maintain that they are free of any legal constraints. They especially reject most forms of taxation as illegitimate. Participants in the movement argue this concept in opposition to federal citizens who they say have unknowingly fortified their rights by accepting some aspect of federal law. The doctrines of the movement are similar to those of the Freemen of the Land movement, more commonly found in Britain and Canada. Now, how do you feel about that? Does any of that sound like what you are thinking about?
It sounds very accurate, except for the part calling it sovereign citizen, and that's what most interpretations are on it. And I think we need to remove the words sovereign and citizen together because they contradict each other. So I use the word just sovereign, because every time you use the word sovereign citizen, you just contradicted yourself, because sovereign means free, citizen means slave. And so you put them both together, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. And okay. So, like, everything but the title. But, yeah, that's pretty accurate, because, you know, taxations, extortion, and, yeah, if there's no victim, there is no crime. So we're not subject to any of that.
Well, what do you mean there is no victim? What happens when somebody, like, has harm done to them? What do you call that? Like, let's say someone comes up and punches you in the face. There's a victim and there is a crime, right? Like, someone just assaulted you. Is that not a crime?
Right. That is a crime. And so you would be the victim, and so you could press charges against that person that punched you.
But press charges where? See, this is what I don't get about the... No, I don't mean to challenge you on this, but just this. Where are you going to press charges with to a government that you don't believe in? Right? Based on
That's the thing. That's the thing. Under the common law, we have one authority figure, and that's the sheriff. And so he would be the only lawman that you could contact.
Oh, so they only believe in local government.
Right. That's the only government. Like, back in the day during the Old West, you know, there was a lawman. He was the sheriff. And what we have today is we have over 70 armed government agencies in this country now. And the sheriffs pretty much do nothing. Like, they're corporate sellouts too, because the sheriff's department is now a corporation. And so what we have in this country is a dereliction of duty, because the sheriff should be arresting these lawless de facto corporations posing as government agencies in this country, because that's everything this government's been doing is illegal. But the sheriffs are going along with it because they've all been bought and paid for too, like all the other agencies
in
this country.
Wait, you're kind of talking your own talk here, so let me just back you up. Let's just back up here so that this sounds like, to me, a comprehensive conversation, because you're speaking your own language. So you don't believe, like, if somebody assaults you, you only go to the sheriff and have that sheriff arrest him, right? But that person then goes into court in a, depending on the type of crime, it could be a federal court. So you wouldn't believe in the federal court that you went to, or even the state court that you go to when someone gets prosecuted, then where do they go in a common law situation?
They go to jail. There's no prisons in a common law system.
Yeah, but okay, you get arrested, but are you not presumed? Do you not get a trial? Do you not get to discuss? You know, you just like, boom.
Yes. You would get due process. You would be judged in a jury of your peers.
Yes, but
unlike today, where
the question is, so you're just saying, but the question is, jury of your peers in what court system? If you don't believe in the courts, if you think the courts are illegal, this is what I'm.
It would be a common law court system, and
so,
you know, the
like,
judge,
okay,
the sheriff, all that would be there.
So, like, Lane County, we have our court system already set up. We just, like, say we're not going to have any federal oversight. We're just going to have local Lane County judges, and we'll run our cases through the courts here. And whatever our judges decide, there's no Supreme Court. There's no higher court. There's no alternative. If our judge says you're guilty, you're guilty, bada-bada, being off to jail. Right?
Well, you'd still have to be convicted by the jury before the judge could do that, though.
Yeah, but if the jury convicts you, there's no alternative.
Right,
and
so what would happen
But imagine the legal ramifications for that, though, Theo, when you think about it. If we had a jury, so everybody has to have a jury be convicted by jury, right, of your peers.
Right.
That's a lot of people if there's a lot of infringements going on, like simple things, like people get hostile, beating each other up, doing things like that. Like, do we have a system sort of created where, let's say this sovereign citizen thing came down, like let's say, which we know is going to happen, the economic collapse just completely destroys the United States' infrastructure, and not all these systems that you so fiercely hate suddenly collapse, and there's nothing there, but we do have energy, we have our local systems going on. How do we rebuild it so that it's a fair and equitable thing? Then we have no state senators, no representation, nobody talking to us, no legal recourse except the sheriff's office.
Yes, and what we do is go back to like things were in the old West, where you had to actually get out there and do everything for yourself because
Well,
no
you're
one's going to
talking,
do it for
you know
you.
what? I beg your pardon. That just makes gut wrenches me when you say the old West. You mean the old West where they went and slaughtered millions of human beings living in what they considered their own tribes, their own nations, under their own laws, and people could just go say, "Hey, you know what? This land is ours. It looks really good. Get the fuck off." That's the old West. How this is how America was built. So
Right,
you're
right.
talking.
Well, you can't really do that nowadays because pretty much all the friggin' land has been, colonized. And so I'm not saying go out there and kill a bunch of Indians, but what I am saying is like we need to learn how to like go back to living off the land again, like we were, but only like not killing each other and taking over other people's property. And sadly, it does seem like if
False
something
flag
like
on the
this happens, that's what it's going to
curve.
go back to.
You know what, Theo? I seriously, this is where the whole, to me, the hole in the, I admire, this is why I wanted you on. I admire the fact that you're willing to buck the system because you have sacrificed. You've had some serious pain in the ass legal issues. You're still free. You're not in jail, but it's still a pain in the ass, and there's a lot of things that you have to deal with. But the hole in the argument is, go back to living off the land. You mean when most of Americans had some rickets and were underfed, and where these corporations can dump all kinds of, this is where we're headed now with the Trump nation. They're going to do away with all these regulations. We're going to have rivers on fire again, folks. That's why we found it. That's why they have the Safe Water Clean Water Act, because rivers were on fire on the East Coast. People have forgotten. See, yeah, I agree with you, Theo, that 100%. These agencies have gotten out of control. But the agencies themselves are not the illness. The illness is the lobbyist, the eight person for every single one, the 35 person for every single one of our elected officials. If elected officials could, I believe in the goodness of this system of representation. I think it functions well if we are free of undue influence, which I guess is a frickin' pipe dream, isn't it? I mean.
Well, yeah, and it sounds futile, but the more of us that we have doing this, the sooner, the rest of the herd or population will get on board and join us. Because when you go back to the old West, and what my idea is, like let's stop calling it the old West. That's why I'm calling my idea the new West. Okay, because we're not going to go and kill a bunch of Indians like they're doing in Standing Rock right now. Like, the new West is living off the land, doing everything, trying to live sustainable, like starting little sustainable communities here and there, because the collapse is inevitable no matter what. And these government agencies, they're not government at all. They are a de facto corporation posing as government, so they're not going to help us either. I mean, look at the EPA. They're constantly getting away with polluting the rivers like we were back then. It's no different. It's just now the government's able to do everything on a larger scale because they've passed all these laws to restrict us but benefit them. And if we do anything that,
Yeah, but
these
when you get
stupid
into
laws that they
them, who
write.
is them? Are you talking about the men and women who own these corporations? Is that what you're talking about, them? Is that the them you're
Yes,
talking about?
the
See,
government,
this is what
the
this is
CEOs
what I
of all these
disagree
agencies.
with. That answer, though, really negates this idea. Nobody's really held accountable within our own system. Right now, we have corporate polluters who don't go to jail. We have the Supreme Court
Right.
who votes. The Supreme Court sides on the side of corporations, I mean, like 90% of the time. If you've ever heard a Supreme Court argument. It's unbelievable the inane questions that these guys twist around so that they can take the position for the corporation. I mean, it's just absolutely insane.
Right. Well,
that's the insanity.
That's because
go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's because the Supreme Court's a corporation, too. They're all going hand in hand. Everything this government's been doing has been illegal since 1871. And so everything's going to go hand in hand to benefit the corporation. And that's why these judges and these law enforcement people, they're...
What happened in 1871?
Well, what happened was, and it's a long story, and I'm glad we got a long show here, because I guess I can talk about it, try to connect all the dots. But it's basically what happened is a lot of people are speculating that the federal government has declared war on us. That's true to some extent, but it's not true, because what they don't tell you is that we've been at war with this government since 1871, because the Civil War never ended. That's what they don't tell you. So what happened was, is during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln, knew what was going on. And so he put us under martial law to try to stop the bankers. And that started the Civil War. And I mean, yes, it was about slavery, but what they didn't tell you was that after the Civil War, they made us all slaves, no matter who or what you are, what color you are. And it happened by creating the fraudulent 14th Amendment in 1871. So the bankers stepped in, they killed Lincoln, and they came in and said, okay, we're the government now. And so they created this corporation, and they converted our sovereignty from a common law system to a maritime corporate de facto system, and they disguised it as government to get the society in this country to go along with it, and it made it all the way to 1933 before the country was considered bankrupt, and that was when they put the Federal Reserve in to create this currency, this fiat currency that's, you know, collapsing.
So this is what it says about this Act of 1871. It's called the Second Enforcement Act of 1871. Again, on Wikipedia, very weak source. It was also known as the Civil Rights Act of 1871, the Force Act of 1871, the Ku Klux Klan Act. That didn't really work. They were around for a long time. Third Enforcement Act, or the Third Ku Klux Klan Act. Down at the bottom of the page, they quote it, but then they tell us how it's been amended, later amended and codified as Section 1983. 42 U.S.C. Section 1983 now reads, every person who under color of statute, who under color of statute, ordinance, regulation, custom, or usage, or of any state or territory or of the District of Columbia, subjects or clauses to be subjected to, any citizen of the United States or other person within the jurisdiction thereof, to the deprivation of rights, privileges, or immunities secured by the Constitution and law, shall be liable to the partly injured in an action in law. That's what it says. Suit in equity and or other proceedings in redress, except that any action brought against the judicial officer for an act or omission taken in such officer's judicial capacity, injunct relief shall not be granted unless a declaratory decree was violated. So, you know, this whole thing about this Act of 1871, I've heard this argument before, that it says that it basically enslaved everyone, right?
Yes, and what you just read was the federal Title 42 litigation, and that's how you sue judges and cops, is through this litigation. I haven't figured out how to do that yet, because it's court documents, and you got to word everything precise, because it's all about language with these people. And so, like, color of law is that's what this government is acting under. It's not the law, it's color of law, meaning it's posing as law. And that's what a lot of people don't know, and that's what I'm trying to wake others up by doing the sovereign thing, by saying, hey, look, if there's no victim, there's no crime. We don't need any of this crap anymore. You know, we need to be more consciously aware. We need to start taking responsibility for our actions, you know, and holding these tyrants who have been nothing but lying to us accountable.
1980 sections 1983 and 1871 Civil Rights Act provides a way individuals can sue to redress when that's what you need to do. That's what this is about.
Right.
But the fundamental idea about what you're saying, you see, you're You're saying that since this act of 1871, they made everybody a slave?
Yes, and it didn't fully go into effect until 1933 when Roosevelt declared us bankrupt, and that was when the Fed completely took over our money. And they said, okay, we're going to force you to turn in your gold, and in replace, we're going to give you these fake fiat debt notes, or blood money, as I call it, Federal Reserve notes. And that, then they created Social Security and all that. And so when they created this, it was originally to benefit us. But what they didn't tell us was they didn't give us full disclosure, which nullifies this entire Social Security contract, because if you're not given full disclosure, then that nullifies the contract, because you got to know everything that's in the contract to be able to agree upon it. And then they force you upon that while you're after you're born, which is you're a baby. You had no recollection, no knowledge. So how can you sign a contract into this when you're a baby? And that's the fraud, how they've, you know, gotten us all on. And so we all believe that, oh, we got to be slaves of this system because we got a birth certificate and Social Security and all that. And let's see, where was I going with that?
I don't know.
Yeah, and they did this in the 30s, and that was Roosevelt who did that. And so, like, by getting rid of all your gold and getting Federal Reserve notes, the government says, and you can read this, it's in House Joint Resolution.
They did this to feed people. There was such starvation. Social Security helped. The death rate among elderly people dropped dramatically when people started getting Social Security. It's all well and good
right,
to say we're all on our own, and we'll don't worry, communities will take care of people. Really? Look on the streets of the United States right now. I think 1 in 4,
exactly,
1 in 5 children go to school hungry. So, no,
yes,
people don't take care of themselves.
Right, and so back...
I believe that we need the system. I like the Constitution. I think it's a clever way of governing. Humans are going to bind themselves together to govern anyway. For me, the objection about the sovereign citizen, from what I see about it, is it's a very disrespectful way to enter into our culture. Because it's like, hey, I'm free to do whatever I want. If I don't have car insurance and I don't have money and I accidentally hit you, sorry, too fucking bad. I personally believe that car insurance helped us. I know a lot of sovereign citizens. This is when I first got into this. When I was introduced, this was the primary argument that I had with someone. I was living in L.A., driving a little Hyundai, which is basically a little tin car on the streets of Los Angeles, right? So what if somebody hit me? I was paying my rent half in the 15th and half on the 14th for 6 years, supporting my two kids, living hand to mouth, working spare jobs when I could. If somebody would have hit me and didn't have insurance and I didn't have a car, do you understand the impact that would have had negative on my life?
Right.
Those are things I think we need to think about.
Right. Well,
what's
under
the
common law system, like, well, the solution is with the whole birth certificate thing, and I was going to go into that, is, like, you can pay for everything through your birth certificate. Because, like, I was going to say, go back and read House Joint Resolution 192 from 1933, and it says in there that for trading in your gold for the Federal Reserve notes, that we're supposed to have free food, water, shelter, healthcare, transportation, all that. Yes, it's in the bill.
It doesn't say free food, water, transportation, healthcare. It says a basic human rights standard of living.
And that's what basic human rights are: food, water, shelter, transportation.
Yes, but look, this is the bottom line. A, there's not money in the Federal Reserve anymore. We already know that that's – so this is the point about it. You're kind of like beating a dead horse. All of us know that the system, the collapse, it's a planned collapse. I mean, for goodness sakes, it is a planned collapse.
Right.
But for me, my objection to the sovereign citizen thing is it doesn't look at the social issues. It doesn't look at the cultural developments of things. Because prior to developing these social networks, so, you know, government networks, like where people can actually live, contribute to the government in some form or manner. Now, I get it that they are all super corrupt. I mean, It's not the ideal thing, but nothing is ideal. It just means we have to keep working at it and getting engaged. This is why I believe in activism and citizen engagement. And I say the word citizen because, frankly, you know, in the United, I've had to think about, am I really going to be leaving the United States soon because I am exposing the lies of the nuclear industry? And they look how much time it took us to connect on this issue. I don't know if it's intentional, but they are certainly messing up with our media. They're not like in Egypt. They just cut the social media off. Sorry, you guys aren't getting together. We think we have these brilliant ideas of internet and I have a right to do this. No, we don't. It's all owned by, frankly, the government. That's the issue. We have a fascist state. We don't have democracy.
Exactly. And it's a corporatocracy or a fascist state. And that's why we need to stop participating in the corporation. And that's what will stop everything.
I think what we need
and
to
that's
do
what
is
the sovereign idea is
involved in our government. I think we need to bear down and take it back. We need to actively engage in taking it back. Like, I'm a very huge proponent of revoking the Unpatriot Act. When that act passed and every single one of those senators signed on to a 1,500-page document that they didn't even read, that was treason to me. Because
exactly, and that's why to take the, go ahead.
Well, it took away what shreds of rights we had left. I don't blame the Social Security Administration and Roosevelt for establishing agencies that help. And I don't blame, the EPA, these agencies were formed because people were trying to figure out a solution. Like, holy crap, all these companies. But the whole idea of the United States, of the Western world, it really has just been invasion and murder. Our way is the highway, just like the nuclear industry is no different than the Queen of England raping and pillaging, everything straight across North America, the Spaniards and the Portuguese in South America. I mean, that's kind of the way it went, and the French went to Africa. So, look, it's the Western way of rape and pillage. That doesn't mean that the system can't... I mean, the United States was really based upon First Nations idea. Our Constitution was written upon the concepts that had developed among the First Nations in the United States. Now, that's a question I'd like to have you ask as a sovereign... As a sovereign, what do you want me to just call you? As a sovereign under common law? How do you identify yourself?
You can call me whatever you want to call. I just prefer just the word sovereign by itself without citizen.
Okay, well, I'll call you a sovereign. As a sovereign, outside of that, what's your concept about the nations, the First Nations that were here, the Native Americans? I hate to call them Native Americans because... I don't know. I'm a native. I was born here, right? But I'm European. So I call them First Nations. When the Europeans came here, the First Nations there was hundreds of nations across. There was, look at the map of all the different cultures there were in our country. We, what we call
North America.
Yeah,
there was like over 100 million of them.
Right. So now, what do you think of those people having a system of governance? That they looked up to their chief and they did these things and they had a hierarchy. What do you think of that? Do you think that's a complete, you consider that common law? Is that what's considered true common law?
I would consider that their own common law because they had their own system adapted way before we came along and started annihilating them. And I don't know if I'm not as familiar with their hierarchy. I probably should be because I really connect with the Indians and I'm, big supporter of, wanting to be in Standing Rock and helping them fight this oil pipeline. But at the same time, because of what the white man did to the Indians, being an American, they kind of, hate the white man. So it's kind of hard being, a white American going to help the Indians out.
There's a lot of Europeans going to help the First Nations. There's lots of people that are not First Nations people there. I mean, that's a kind of a false paradigm, and they are very open to it. because they know that not all people reflect the government. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like it's, and
Right.
this is the issue about the pipeline. You know, the pipeline is not just this pipeline. It's going to be all over. You know, the Trump Nation has
Right,
have their
and Trump's going to be
pipelines.
bringing back the Keystone Pipeline too, and so this is just the beginning with Standing Rock, and it's not going to stop, and so
Well, it
it
is going
sucks
to
and it's
stop if
horrible. What's
it is going to stop, Theo. That's my point. It is going to stop if enough people actively engage. It is going to
Right,
stop.
and what we need to do is we need to get as much people out there actively involved to get this to stop. And until more people do, then the government's just gonna, mow right over us. They don't care.
Well, there are lots of people. You know, there's several thousand people out there. There's a lot of people. They're actually calling about 35,000 people, and I think they're going to get at least 15 to 20. I actually do believe that. I think they want it by February 3rd, or do you remember the date, or maybe it was the end of this month. There's something going on, and they need masses of people to stand up against them. But what it's going to highlight is this: even if they had that many, these people are serious. It has exposed how we are literally assets on a balance sheet. Literally. I get that. And I agree with you on that point in terms of the fundamental disregard for human life and the fact that our nation has turned into a corporation and a fascist state, completely in agreement. The one thing we do have left is this, our voice and our action. If the reason we're in the state we're in is because people have retracted like a snail.
Right, and they're everything's so corrupt. They live in fear, and so they're all in denial, saying, "Okay, well, we'll live out of convenience, living our sheepish lives, so the government doesn't come and arrest us and kill us." And so, because of that, they become scared and they don't want to do nothing. They just say, "Oh, it's all corrupt. We can't change nothing." They lose hope.
But you know what, Theo,
And.
the sovereign movement is not going to give them the courage to step up. I mean, this is my issue with the sovereign movement. Fundamentally, the real fundamental thing is it doesn't really stop. I mean, it doesn't acknowledge the shit storm that we're already in. I mean, it fights back. Yeah. You can say, I'm not going to pay your taxes. I'm not going to screw you. I'm not going to get insurance. But fundamentally, it doesn't offer a system so that we can actually, it really does not. If people 100% stopped immediately, if you got what you wanted right now, everything stopped. And everybody just said, yeah, screw you. We're not doing it. We're taking it back. Right? That would mean the whole cessation of the electrical grid, because people are like, no, we're not participating in it. So then we have to recreate it. It creates a crisis. I mean, look what happens when there is a disaster, like when there is a flood or some kind of an emergency, and you have all these people, like, you know, they're just like, New Orleans was a perfect example during Katrina. They went to the, who in their right minds would have thought that the Bush would have just sabotage those people and allowed them to suffer the way they did. In a million years, that was the first time I've ever seen our government 100% fail to take any action. I mean, most of the
Well,
time
not
when
just
there's
that, but they went in there and they stripped everybody of their guns. The next thing you know, all the gangs came in and started looting
Not
people
even
and.
that. Worse than that, they turned them down from a facility using arms. All these people, a group of people, had actually been able to get themselves to go to the Armory Guard, our own nation's Armory Guard. There was a place, and they were stood off at gunpoint on the word of Bush. Now this is a crime. And look, I personally believe that the government literally allowed Katrina to destroy New Orleans intentionally so that Halliburton could have the Ninth Ward. Because what did they do afterward?
Exactly,
All
and
the people
that's
went
why
home. That's called
they
fascism.
created that. Go ahead.
But that's fascism. See, this is the subversion of our Constitution. This is where I'm at. Like,
Well,
the
that's what they've
reason,
done. We have a corporate
not they,
constitution. They
we have
changed the
done it.
con- Yeah.
We have done it. We have allowed it. So as long as people
Exactly.
do not speak out and get actively engaged and tell your, like, I call Ron Wyden's office all the time and talk to him to revoke the Unpatriot Act. That's the first fundamental step to getting our country back. We need like millions and millions of people to call our elected officials and pressure them and say, look, the reason that we have the NSA spying program, like this huge mega city in Utah that can reach out to every single cell phone, telephone, computer with a camera at will, is because of the Patriot Act, the Unpatriot Act.
Right.
And
that was Bush that started that.
Yes, and this is the point here, though. The sovereign movement is not going to end that. It's not going to stop it. If everybody stops it, it's still going to go on. So then what do? Declare all-out war? I'm not going to participate in a war. Thanks, but no. I'm not pulling a bullet. I am not going to shoot another human being. Thanks, but no. I actually really 100% believe in passive resistance. I think it's a much more effective way of managing it.
Well, like I said, we still are at war with this government, and so there's no denying that. And the fact that,
yes, there is,
you know,
denying,
like,
it. You can. That's not true. There is. That's not true. You can deny it. I'm not at war with the government. I'm not.
You might not be
government.
Personally at war with the government, but in the government's eyes, you are, because you are a debt slave, and that's what they don't want you to know. And the roots of this corruption go very deep. And they changed the Constitution, too, to where it's now a corporate constitution.
I mean, what do you mean by debt slave? Like, my life is...
Like, we're all debt slaves to the Federal Reserve with the birth certificate, Social Security. Like I said, they didn't give us full disclosure when they created all of this.
What does that mean?
And
okay,
so,
you're not talking about, like most Americans, completely in debt. You're talking about a debt slave like, oh, I get up and go to work every day?
Yes. And we have to slave to pay off this debt that is owed to the Federal Reserve Bank. And that's what they're not telling you.
The thing is, it's not slaving. I mean, if people did what they felt like made their lives better, that's not enslavement.
No. I see what you're saying. But no, like, in general, though, whether you think you have a complete fulfilling life or not, and you're completely happy, whether you have money or not, if you have a birth certificate, you are a slave.
Why am I a slave? Who am I a slave to if I have a birth certificate?
Well, like I was saying to you, you are a slave to the Federal Reserve Bank, and it is owned by the Roman cult, going all the way back to ancient Rome. It has to do with two laws. There's two kinds of laws. There's the law of the land, common law, and then there's the law of water, maritime law. And when they switched everything over in 1871, now we're governed by the law of water when we live on land, because it's all dealing with money. And so they had to take control of our money, and from 1871 to 1933 they had to bankrupt our U.S. Treasury, and it took them that long till they finally bankrupted it. And so when they created the Federal Reserve, you know, basically what happened was is the country was considered bankrupt in 1933. And so the Federal Reserve stepped in and said, okay, we'll create this new currency, and in replace, give us all your gold, and we'll give you this new money, and you'll have basic human rights, we'll take care of you, blah, blah, et cetera. And we didn't get any of that. Instead, they've given us this debt note.
I'm going to stop you here, because you're buying into a bunch of generalities, Theo. No disrespect here, but that is not what happened. That's an interpretation of what happened. The Federal Reserve may not be the best system in the world, but it really did help the general populace in the United States. Old people, Ronald Reagan said it best himself. Oh, well, and that's what Romney said in the last election. Well, they can go sell pencils on the street like people used to do. That's what people did before Social Security. You'd see old people. I mean, haven't you watched those black and white movies where you see the blind flower girl selling flowers sitting on the street corner? They made it look so beautiful and cute, but she was usually orphaned, a blind girl, because people that couldn't work were kicked out of their houses. The whole thing is about a system of compassion. And to me, the sovereign state is not a compassionate state. It's a victim state. And that's why I think many people will not come to it and flock to it. Because it's a victim state. If something happens to you, you really have no big recourse. There's not much you can do about it. You're screwed. This is why the system of car insurance came up. Because let's pull
our
money.
I see old people and crippled people having jobs all the time. And, you know, like, they're like, for example, like, you see disabled people like as Walmart greeters and stuff like that. And it's like, really, like, people are working 2-3 jobs to make ends meet, no different than it was in the roaring 20s and during the Depression. Like, people are doing everything they can to make money and find work because there is none, because, you know, the corporatocracy has taken over and sold all their, you know, jobs overseas.
That has to do with how our government has been infiltrated by the fleas.
Right, and everything's been planned since 1871, and that's why they developed these government agencies to try to help people, because they created the problem, and so they had to get the people to support these ideas. And so that's why it took from 1933 to bankrupt the government to where they can create this lawless de facto system.
Look, this is the thing. I don't think that they I still adhere to our Constitution. I think we can get it back. The Federal Reserve will collapse. I mean, what do you think about
That's a fact. And when you say Constitution, remember, there is a corporate Constitution, and that's what they changed in 1871. Yeah. The Constitution of the United States of America, and then you have...
That's right, but we can turn that back. We could, in fact, move to have that revoked. And I'm not saying...
And that's the common law system, and we can go back to, if there's no victim, there's no crime. A common law system, back to where the sheriff is the law of the land, and that's why I call my idea the New West. You know, we take responsibility and we hold these lawless tyrants accountable for everything that's been done over the last 140 years.
I think I fundamentally disagree with you.
Yeah. Most people do, and that's why I kind of keep to myself about this issue. And, you know, you're never, you know, it's going to be an endless debate with people, and it's like, really, whatever. I don't care. You know, to each his own. This is my truth, and I'm doing it because it's the only solution I have found. And if everybody did it, then these lawless tyrants would wake up really quick, and they would actually, you know, start listening to us, or they would resign and run scared because they know we're coming for them. Because in the Constitution, redress of grievances, you know, we have the right to overthrow these lawless tyrants and, you know, get our country back. And unfortunately, things have gotten so corrupt where that's the only solution is to grab your guns and guillotines and start a revolution. And that's what a lot of people have tried to do, and they failed miserably because they didn't get the support, because too many people are all like, they're still living in fear.
It's not fear. People want peace, Theo. It's not fear. There's enough bloodshed. We do not need guns. If we want to change it, we can change it with our minds and with our actions. I mean, this is how I feel about it. Yeah, they did corporatize us in 1871, and things got astray, but that doesn't mean if enough people actively engaged at the local level in government, get on the school boards, like I am actually going to get involved on the water board. I'm going to look into how do I get involved and become a water board member so that I can be part of eWeb, so that I can vote against the Columbia Generating Station, so that I'm going to start going to the eWeb meetings, the water board meetings, and saying, excuse me, we buy 10% of the electricity from the Columbia Generating Station, which is losing $100 million a year and threatening all life in the Northwest because it's highly unsafe. That kind of pressure actively, when people actively engage in the government, it actually works. This is why activism is a vital part. See, what's happened, it's not that the corporations took over. What happened after World War II, when we set up all these systems of social networks, people got lazy and fat and happy and content, and then they're like, yeah, baby, the corporations just came in, and once they realized they could propagandize us with the radio, and then the discovery of television, because they could doubly affect us with the visuals and control our brains, they dug in deep. They dug in very deep. But that doesn't mean that we can just shit can the whole thing and go back to what I consider what you propose as a lawless nation. That idea of there is no further redress than a corrupt sheriff or a corrupt judge. There's nobody above a local judge. Mr. Corruption run by the local corporations is like, it's all well and good and idealistic to say, yeah, we're going to run it all, but that's not, this is why these oversight boards and, you know, what they're called, disinterested parties. I mean, they use this legalese language. I mean, I run into it all the time at work, but really when it gets down to it, it's about us in an effort to form a more perfect union. This is the thing, you know, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. That's the bullshit that I was told that I actually believe we can do, because the First Nations were murdered and slaughtered to create this system of people where we become a big melting pot, right? This is who we're supposed to be as Americans. We're a melting pot. And so now what we've done on reflection is there's a movement within the United States looking back at our history going, wow, man, we decimated the First Nations. Like, there is not a single treaty that has been honored by the United States government in the Americas. In the United States, not a single one. I get you, it's lawless. When you say it's lawless, but I don't think it's, I think fundamentally it's our lack of participation. I mean, this is where I'm
at. Well,
it's
like you're calling the sovereign movement lawlessness. Well, look at this corporatocracy that is beyond lawlessness, and yet I'm the one, people like me are the, you know.
This is why I like you, because let's give you some background. Theo and I kind of know each other personally. Theo has gotten his documentation to be a sovereign person, and he got into a small tiny little accident where somebody I think hit him and messed up his car, and then he gave him the documents, they confiscated his documents, they're like, oh, screw you. I mean, he is standing up to the system, he's walking the walk and filing the documents, doing this system. I admire you, Theo, for having the integrity to do what you believe in.
It was two incidences that happened back to back. Like, I was rear-ended, and then 3 weeks later, I was kidnapped, and so that's what I'm fighting right now. And they stole my documents and they stole my world passport, because I went and got a world passport.
They arrested you. Did they arrest you? No.
They kidnapped me they said that I was failing to comply with an officer, which is just beyond lawless tyranny as far as I'm concerned, because I did comply. I gave them my documents and told them to leave me alone.
Militarization of our police. That's what that's called, hyper-militarization of our police. That's what's going on.
Right, and so, like, you can't really hold the cops accountable, because the police are just as brainwashed as all of us. And so they're convinced, they're trained to kill and control people, and they have it in their mindset that, oh, we can just fucking parade around with a gun and go kill anybody because we're cops. And so when you stand up to them as a sovereign with documentations to prove that what they're doing is wrong and they need to leave you alone, they just like, well, what the hell? This is for a judge to decide, because you can't have a legal argument with these people. They just throw you right in jail, and that's what happened to me.
Well, that's not their position. They can't make a legal decision. So what they're done is that, according to them, they're bound by certain rules and regulation. If you don't do, you know, if you don't, they can't just like agree to that. So then,
that's where the legal stuff happens, and you file paperwork in court and you hold them accountable, and they got to owe you money because they violated your rights under color of law. And that's where the Title 42 litigation comes in, then Section 1983 you read earlier.
Well, this is where Theo is at. He's actually challenging the courts. He is going through this process. He is standing up to him. So, I mean, Theo, I commend you for your idealism, but I think you use these, like, highly charged, propagandized words. You know, they didn't kidnap you. Kidnapping means that, you know, they came in under the dark of night, or, you know,
that's exactly what they did. It's kidnapping. That's what they're doing. It all goes back to canon law, the whole corporation. That's all been set up. It goes all the way back to Rome.
You don't think that they can actually arrest you?
They did, but they didn't arrest me. They kidnapped me. If there's no victim, there is no crime. And so, yes, I was arrested, but under common law, I was kidnapped, because, like, the state does not exist, and it says that in the law. And so what they're doing is all lawless tyranny.
If the state does not exist, who does the sheriff work for then? You're saying that the sheriff...
The sheriff works for the people. The sheriff is an elected official, and he works for the people, not the government.
Who does the judge work for?
The people. It's all people's court. It's supposed to be, but everything is privatized. When you go to court now, it's all kangaroo court. You know, the first thing the sheriff does is strip you of your, you know, Fourth Amendment rights. You got to walk through a metal detector, empty your pockets to go into court. When it's like, wait a second, this is supposed to be a common law system, and it's like, wait a second, you just violated your Fourth Amendment, right? You swore an oath to the Constitution. What the hell is this? You're stripping me of my rights going into court? It's kangaroo courts. It's lawlessness.
Wait,
and so they don't work for us anymore.
You're sort of talking to yourself here. You're not actually like saying anything that it's like you just decided. The definition of a state is a nation or territory considered as an organized political community under one government, right?
Right.
That's what a state is. So when you're saying that we have a state, like the judges work for the state. So the common
right, and the state is not an actual person. It is a fictitious identity because no one person is the state.
So under common law, the sheriff works for the state. Who does the
right,
sheriff
and the state is run by the people.
That's what we have. I mean, the people are running. What do you mean by the people? How do the people run? Okay, who runs the sheriff's office? Is he just like sitting home like Andy Mayberry and drinking coffee waiting for people to call him or what? I mean, this is the thing. The system.
Not nowadays, but no, like, yes. Like, you know, the sheriff is supposed to respond to people like no different than when people call the police do.
So does the sheriff have a right to arrest somebody? Like, let's say a girl's boyfriend beats the crap out of her and she's laying there half dead and she's obviously been assaulted. But the sheriff who arrived on the scene did not see the assault. Does he not have the right to make a reasonable assumption that he beat the crap out of his wife? He's got blood all over his hands. The girl's laying there unconscious because he's been beating her. The neighbors called the cops. The sheriff
right.
arrives. Does he have the right to arrest that guy?
Yes, absolutely. That's the sheriff. That's his job.
So
like, if somebody calls the police, the only lawman that should arrive should be the sheriff.
Okay,
but
so
that's just me. But we don't live under a common law system anymore.
If you had been arrested by a sheriff, because I know Los Angeles sheriff, they call themselves sheriffs. If you had been arrested
right.
by a sheriff, would that have been considered lawlessness? If the person with the name on the badge said he was a sheriff, and not say a
if the public servant was working for the sheriff department, he pulled me over. And I gave him my sovereign document saying I'm traveling. There's no need for me to have a driver's license, blah, blah, et cetera. Free men don't have no government-issued form of identification. And then they stood in the, and if the sheriff, after reading my documents, decided to still arrest me, then that means that sheriff is an imposter and he needs to be removed from office and brought to justice.
Okay.
So because it all comes down to the person who's pulling you over, really.
Okay.
And
we have 4 minutes left. I hope you'll become a friend of the state because I haven't been too rough on you here, but I really want to meet this out.
No, no, I'm a friend of the state. Like, I'm in the process now of getting a state citizen passport because every state is its own country. And that's part of the deal that they don't tell you is like there's two Americas. There's the United States of America, the sovereign nation. And then there's the United States Corporation. And that's where the fraud comes in, is because everybody thinks that we're a United States Corporation, corporate citizens. No, no, no. You don't want to be a United States citizen. You want to be a state citizen or a non-citizen national. And so that's the part of the state that's sovereign, that we the people, the common law jurisdiction, is supposed to be the supreme law of the land, unlike this corporate constitution that we have that's, you know, the federal government just can do whatever the hell they want to, and all these corporations have all the money and power, and, you know, we're all slaves to this one bank.
Well, look,
and
you make all these like really wild, you know, like these are all idealistic statements that you make and kind of, you know, trigger words in my view. But you know what? I hope you'll come back. We have like 30 seconds left. You've been listening to Theo.
Okay. Yeah. I'd love to be back on the show again.
I want to get your name. It's a YouTube. His name is Hippie with a Gun on YouTube. Please watch his videos. And I'm glad that you're going to come back because I want to continue this conversation. This is vital. And
yes.
At least because you're a young person, I appreciate the fact that you are actively engaged. You have put your courage feet on and you are taking action. I don't necessarily agree, but I love that you're doing it. I think it's really great.
Thank you
for joining us.
Thank
and
you.
Please. Put your courage feet on. Take action. We'll talk with you soon.
All right, thank you, Lonnie.
Thank you.